Hello, everyone. Welcome to my class. This class is called Messing with Your Head, How to Improve the Capsuleer Mind. My name is Neville Schmidt. I am a Eve University graduate and active in the uni, and like to do classes like this one every once in a while. This course is designed primarily for new players in Eve, but for those of you who have been around for a while that have questions about various aspects of the game, then you'll find that this could be somewhat useful. We're going to be covering neural remaps, learning skills, implants, clones, and booster drugs. And I appreciate the comments in chat. Over the next hour or so, we're going to be exploring all these different ways that you can improve your character's inherent attributes so that you can learn faster, fight harder, make more ISK, be better, you know, looking and more popular, and generally do more stuff to be more successful in the game. We have a few ground rules for this class. This class, unfortunately for you, is going to be mostly lecture, followed by some questions. There is no practical exercise in the class, so we do have a lot of material. I expect this class to go longer than 60 minutes. It could go as long as 90 minutes because we have a lot of stuff to cover today. So I apologize for the length, but there is quite a bit to cover in this material. Please put your TeamSpeak settings, if you've not already done so, on push to talk. We would like to keep TeamSpeak silent. I will, at the end, open up the TeamSpeak lines if you'd like to ask any questions verbally, and we can have a debate about anything that I've gotten wrong or if you have any further insights about any of the subject matter that we're covering here. Feel free to type any questions as we go along in the class.euni chat channel, however. I am easily distracted and enjoy questions, so feel free to type them in as we go along. I'll try to answer your questions as they come during the class, and appreciate any kind of links or helpful comments as we go along as well, if you have some insights or some other useful resources. I certainly know a lot about these subjects, but I am not the ultimate expert, and so feel free to contribute with any insights that you may have as we go along in the class.euni chat channel. You should be docked up safely in the station. As you know, we are at war. Do not be traveling around out there. Be somewhere safe. And I think that's the best place to be during the course of this class. All right, everyone ready? Well, let's go ahead and get started. First, let's make sure that you can hear me all right. If you could give me a wave in the class.euni chat channel if I'm coming through all right. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I will be asking a number of questions, poll questions as we go along, and appreciate your responses in the class.euni chat channel. First of all, you might find the syllabus for this class somewhat useful. Feel free to follow along if you wish. You don't have to, but you might find it helpful. And there is the link to the syllabus. Certainly, you might want to go back and look at it later on. It's on the Eve University Wiki. Just do a search for Messing with Your Head, and you will find it. All of the links and everything else that I am going to be talking about today, in fact, most of my comments are available right there. So let's go ahead and dive right in. First, let's talk about attribute remapping. Attribute remapping is one of the ways that you can improve your inherent attributes and do more about do more in the game and improve yourself. Every character in Eve has five attributes. They are intelligence, memory, charisma, perception, and willpower. Intelligence being the speed at which you process information, memory how well you remember that information, charisma the degree to which you influence others, perception, your ability to understand the situation around you, and willpower, the amount of stamina that you have to reach a particular goal or objective. Now, that all sounds very nice, but the truth of the matter is that attributes really only affect one thing in the game, and that is the speed at which you learn new skills. You can find your attribute scores on your character sheet in the attributes section. Although the figures there are rounded to the nearest whole number, in actual fact, it is a fraction. And if you use EVMON, that will tell you the exact decimal fraction of your various attributes if you want to see them. If you're not familiar with EVMON, let me post the link for that here. We're going to be talking about EVMON a lot today, and for those of you who are interested in optimizing your various attributes and optimizing the speed at which you learn different skills, I consider EVMON to be an absolute requirement for everyone here. How many people here, by show of hands in the chat channel, are currently using EVMON? Excellent. I never do anything without consulting EVMON first. It's a wonderful way of keeping track of your training regimen. And I have multiple training plans for my main character and my alt characters as well. So it is an invaluable tool, and if you want to optimize your attributes, you're going to have to get EVMON. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. Now, as I said, attributes do determine the speed at which a character can train skills. The rate at which you learn a particular skill is determined by two particular skills, the primary skill and a secondary skill. And the formula for that, and we'll post right here. There you go. The important thing to understand about that formula is that your score for a skill's primary attribute, primarily affecting attribute, will influence its training time twice as much as the score for its secondary attribute. And if you want to know what kinds of attributes are affecting different skills, if you open up a particular skill, or if you go to your training queue and open up a skill that's located there and click on Show Info, and look there under attributes, you'll see the different primary and secondary skills that are affecting the speed of your training. Now, different kinds of skill types are affected by different attributes. For example, the drone's skills are affected by primarily by memory and secondarily by perception. Electronics are affected by intelligence and memory. Gunnery is affected by perception and willpower. Leadership is affected by willpower and charisma. And mechanic by intelligence and memory, and so forth. I've listed all the different skill groups and associated attributes in the syllabus link that I provided earlier if you want to know what the different primary and secondary attributes are. Okay. So why is this important? Well, what it means is that the way that you allocate different points to your attributes certainly can affect the speed to which you learn your different skills. And we want to make that as fast as possible, obviously, so we can get on to different kinds of capabilities in the game. So to that end, CCP does provide those players in the game with the opportunity to remap your skills. That's called neural remapping. You can optimize the speed of your skill training by adjusting your attributes through neural remaps. Now, you are allowed to conduct two neural remappings during your first year as a character. A neural remap enables you to reallocate your base attribute points to the various attributes. After the first year, you can conduct one neural remap only once every year. So you definitely want to take advantage of those multiple neural remaps if you can in your first year. How many people here are in the first year of their character? So quite a few of you. By the way, I am getting a little keying up in the background. If everyone could check their push-to-talk options and make sure that you have TeamSpeak set to push-to-talk, that'd be greatly appreciated. Crusoe asks a good question here. If you don't use the remaps in the first year, do they carry over, or is it use it or lose it? It is use it or lose it. If you do not use your remaps, you don't stockpile them. You're only allowed two remaps in the first year if you don't use any of them. then you're only allowed one remap every year thereafter. Yeah, I wish they did stockpile. That would make things a lot more flexible, but they don't, so it doesn't work that way. Okay, so to conduct a neural remap, you can start your Eve client, obviously, and then select your character sheet. You can do this with me now if you wish. Select your character sheet on the NeoCom. That's the top button on your NeoCom. Then select the attributes window. That window will show your current attribute scores and also tell you if a remap is available. If a remap is available, you will have a button that says Remap Now. By clicking this button, you'll be given the attribute remapping screen, and you can play with those numbers. That only takes effect if you click the Save Changes button to confirm your remap. Now, you must have a minimum of 5 points in each attribute. You can actually, with skills and implants, allocate a maximum of 34 points to any given attribute. Now, of course, most of us will not be allocating nearly that many to any particular attribute because we don't have that many points to allocate. But over time, as you gain more experience, if you skill up appropriately and have some high-powered implants, you can allocate a large number to any given attribute and maximize your training in that way. So here's the question all of you probably have on your mind, which is, how many points should you allocate to your attributes? Well, here's some general rules of thumb. There is no one universal formula for this. I wish I could tell you you should allocate 25 points to memory and intelligence. It all depends, as I said, on the skills that you have trained and the different implants that you have in the particular clone that you're occupying. So the number of points can vary significantly from player to player, but there are some general rules of thumb and a method to this that makes some sense. First of all, memory and intelligence are very important for industrialists and for training essential ship fitting and tanking skills, as well as drone skills. Perception and willpower are very important for combat pilots since they help you train ship command, gunnery, missile, and other more advanced ship piloting skills. Charisma is important for traders and mission runners and to anyone who's training their leadership skills and aspires to fleet command. So given those factors, most new pilots begin with high attribute allocations to memory and intelligence to focus their training on essential fitting and tanking skills. Then they'll use the first remap as they begin to shift to combat skills and more advanced gunnery, missile, and other ship piloting skills to perception and willpower. They can then use future remaps to establish a more balanced distribution depending on whatever particular career path you choose to take in EVE. So if you're a new player in the game, my general recommendation to you is that you should allocate the majority of your points to the attributes of memory and intelligence and focus your training on essential fitting and tanking skills. Now, the other benefit that that provides, and I see here that Iris has already mentioned this, is that those two attributes also accelerate training for essential learning skills. I'm going to be talking about that next. So you have a dual benefit there. So initially, if you're new in the game, if your two highest attribute scores are not memory and intelligence, then you're probably not optimizing your training and your opportunity to speed up your training in the future. Now, the most efficient way to plan your neural remaps is to use EVEMON. And if you're not using EVEMON, your homework assignment after this class is to download it immediately from the link that I provided earlier. And study how to use it. It is a very intuitive program. It's not difficult. We also have some resources on the EVE University Wiki and some recorded classes on how to use EVEMON effectively. I encourage you to take a look at those. But the one reason why I do think you need to have EVEMON, in addition to being able to keep track of your various learning paths, It's also because it provides a fantastic tool for optimizing your attributes. So if you have EVEMON on your system right now, if you go ahead and bring it up, you'll notice that one of the options, if you pull up a plan, is Optimize Attributes. Now, I would recommend you establish a training plan that is at least 1 year in length, and then by clicking on that Optimize Attributes option on the plan menu, you'll see the first year, what it will do is it will give you recommendations, rather, to reduce your plan's overall training time based on the most appropriate allocation to the various attributes that you have. And it will even show you the amount of time that the remap will save over your current attribute setting. So it's a very, very handy feature. As some of you were mentioning, what about EVEHQ? EVEHQ is also a fine program for doing this kind of work. Personally, I like EVEMON better, so it's a matter of personal preference. But if you use EVEHQ, you can certainly do this kind of thing as well. Okay, we have a question here. Is there a way to combine two plans in EVEMON to create a year-long plan? Oh, I see. Arisa has already answered the question. Yes. You select the different different parts of your plan and do a right-click and merge, as she's indicated here. That's correct. Okay, any questions about neural remaps? It's definitely something you should not take lightly. It does require a certain degree of planning to do well. The general guidelines I've given you should help to optimize your training times. Definitely recommend you use EVEMON or a similar tool like EVEHQ to plan out your attribute optimization. Take advantage of the two neural remaps that you have in your first year at the appropriate time, and that will speed up your training times considerably. Excalibur Templar asks, can you max all attributes? No, you can't. You're never going to have enough points to allocate all of your attributes. I wish there was a way for you to take everything, you know, to 34, for example. That would be awesome. But no, there you'll never be able to have enough points to allocate to the maximum that you can allocate to your different attributes, unfortunately. Good question. Any others? Dokudekapod asks, what is the maximum? Again, this depends on the number of points that you have to allocate, but the maximum number of points that you can allocate, I believe, if I said correctly, was 35. Let me check that. Wrong. 34 points is the maximum number of points that you can allocate to a particular attribute. And you'll see that in the remapping screen. If you go and look, you can see the number of slots that are available, and that is the maximum number that you can allocate to any one attribute. Now, you do have to have a minimum of 5 in every attribute, so if you do the math, you'll see that it's almost impossible unless you have very high learning skills and some special implants to be able to even get close to 34 to allocate to any one attribute. Okay, so that is what attributes are all about and how you can remap them. It is something that you should definitely pay attention to. Netho asks, how can I tell the time when my next remap gets available? Actually, if you click on your attributes in your character sheet, you'll see a button there that says that a remap is available. Basically, you are allowed one remap per year from your character birth date. In your first year, you are allowed two. So you could do them one right after the other if you wanted to. But bottom line is that it'll tell you in the on your character sheet whether or not you have a remap available. If you don't have the button that says remap available, then you don't have one available. Okay, let's talk about learning skills. Okay. And learning skills are, there's a lot of controversy about learning skills, about, you know, whether or not it's a good thing that they have in the game, and, you know, is it, and people generally don't like using them, but they are a key part of the game, and if you use them well, it can go a long way to helping you to speed up your training quite a bit. So let's touch on learning skills. One way to raise your attribute scores and thereby increase the speed of your training are the different kinds of learning skills that are available. The basic learning skill will increase your rate of training by 2% per level trained. It is worthwhile to train learning up to 5 for the full 10% maximized bonus. And I do recommend it if you're planning to be in the game for at least a year. The other learning skills at the basic level are instant recall, which increases your memory attribute by 1 point for each level trained, analytical mind, which increases intelligence, spatial awareness, which increases perception, iron will, which increases willpower, and empathy, which increases charisma. And I do recommend that you train instant recall, analytical mind, spatial awareness, and iron will to at least level 4. And empathy, I would recommend training at least to level 3 or 4 or more if your character is going to specialize in trade, corporation management, or leadership skills. So how can you best use learning skills? Well, when you first start out in EVE, you do get a 100% training speed to 1.6 million skill points. In other words, your training speed is basically double the normal rate for the first 1.6 million skill points. How many people here are still in the accelerated skill training? In other words, how many people here have less than 1.6 million skill points? Give me a wave in the chat channel. So a few of you here. Very good. And now, note that that bonus does not hold for any skill that crosses over the limit, so you don't want to train a long skill at the end of your 1.6 million bonus period. That's something a lot of people don't understand. So you want to do a shorter skill until you get right up to 1.6 million. Yeah, I missed the days of the accelerated skill training. That was nice, but, you know, the only way to accelerate your training after 1.6 million is to increase your attributes and allocate them intelligently. Now, since a 10% training bonus and higher attributes overall will speed your training development throughout your entire career in EVE, I would recommend that you use most of your accelerated 1.6 million skill points to focus on learning skills. Now, certainly you're going to want to alternate that with some other essential fitting skills so that you can do things in the game, obviously. But as much as you can, if you can use your accelerated training to devote to learning skills, you can slingshot your character to minimize skill training times a lot faster. That initial training investment will pay off, as I said, in about a year of playing time, providing you with ongoing high rates of development forever. James had a question here, the long skill problem. If you are getting close to your 1.6 million limit, which is the limit for accelerated training, if you train a long skill and you cross over the 1.6 million with that long skill, then you will not carry over. You will the rest of that skill will not carry forward at the accelerated rate. So don't expect your long skill to be accelerated to beyond the 1.6 million points of accelerated training. Yes, that's right. Up to 1.6 million, it will be accelerated. Okay. Oh, I see. The question is for the particular skill, if it's if it's one that crosses the 1.6 million. Actually, no, that won't be accelerated. The system is smart enough when you put it in the queue, it'll calculate if it goes beyond. It calculates the rate of training for that skill at the end of your training. So if you are before 1.6 million and you train a skill that will go beyond 1.6 million, you don't get the acceleration from the time that you entered the training up to 1.6 million. Thank you for clarifying. Yes, Aris is correct here. You will get a warning from the game if you do that. Okay. That's right. So if you're close to 1.6 million, train a short skill and get so you can maximize your learning bonus. Ghost is asking, training only counts 30 of any given attribute. No, actually, you can get up to 34. It is technically possible, Ghost, to be able to do that. You can actually, with some very advanced implants and skills, it is possible to go beyond that level. It is extremely rare and very difficult to do, however. Most people will never get close to that mark. Okay, where was I? Oh, yes. Recommended that you definitely focus on, as much as you can, those essential learning skills. And the best way to determine which learning skills to train and in what order is, again, to use my favorite program, EVEMON, and I believe EVEHQ will do this as well. My recommendation is plan out your character's training, again, for 1 year. And when you do so, at the bottom of your skill plan window will be a little link that says suggestions. A lot of people miss this. But if you look at the bottom and click on that link, it will recommend the optimal learning skills to minimize your training time for that plan. And if you accept that recommendation, those learning skills will then be inserted and placed at the front of your training plan. So, again, EVEMON will tell you what learning skills to train in order to minimize your overall training time. But it is important to have a training plan in EVEMON that is at least 1 year long in order to really make good use of that suggestion. Now, in addition to some basic learning skills, there are also some more advanced learning skills. Those are clarity, eidetic memory, focus, logic, and presence. And they further increase perception, memory, willpower, intelligence, and charisma, respectively. The advanced learning skills are also very useful, and I do recommend that you train them as well early in your EVE career. However, I'm sure you'll find that they're also very expensive. The list price for those is 4.5 million ISK a piece. How many people here in the chat channel, if you could show me, are currently possess and are training on the, or have trained the advanced learning skills? So almost all of you, and that's very good. One thing that I do want to bring to your attention, because they are very, very expensive, the Uni does offer a benefit, however, that can help you with this. Uni members can acquire advanced learning skill books at half price through a very generous program offered by the graduates as patronage to the Uni, and we thank the graduates for that program. That program allows Uni members who have been in Corp for less than 6 months and who have earned the freshman or student title to buy one copy of all five advanced learning skill books at half the usual price, which means that instead of paying 4.5 million ISK for those, you'll be paying 2.25 million ISK. And that is a fantastic benefit. So if you are a freshman or student and you've been in the Uni for less than 6 months, you can take advantage of that benefit. And I've just posted the link in our forums for you to get more information about how to take advantage of that. All right. You can save quite a bit of money if you use that particular program. The Warp Ghost asks, if we weren't told about this benefit before we bought the books, can we get the money back? Sorry, no. I wish you could. Unfortunately not. This is why you have to read the forums, folks. There's a lot of little secret benefits in there that are really helpful. Good idea to check that out. You never know what you're going to find in there. I know when you're a new player, 20, 25 million ISKs, it's a lot of money. I understand that. But that's why we have these benefits tucked away in various parts of our forum. Okay, any questions about learning skills before we move on? Very good. Okay, Excalibur Templar has a question. Go ahead. Dwarko says that he read the forum and saw stuff saying that that particular program had been ended. I don't believe that's correct. Could someone check that forum link for me and see if that is the case? I had not heard that that program had ended. Tala says that is not correct. The program is still in effect. Yeah, I'm still seeing people that are receiving their books, so I do not believe that rumor is accurate. Crusoe asks, is there a learning skill that you would recommend to level 5? Well, here's the thing about, I definitely would recommend that you take the basic learning skill to level 5 for that full 10% benefit. I do have, over time, I've gone back to the learning skills and elevated a few of them to level 5, but it does take a long time to get those learning skills to level 5. Candidly, if you can bring them all up to level 4, that is fantastic. I think that's probably the optimal level that you eventually want to get all your various learning and advanced learning skills to optimize your attributes. The question you've got to ask yourself is it worth the payoff of that additional time for the small incremental benefit that you're going to be getting in accelerating your learning skills? If you're planning to be in the game for many years, then yeah, take them all up to 5 eventually. I think that makes perfect sense. But beyond learning, I think if you take the rest of them up to level 4, and I think you'll be just fine. I'm sorry you saw bad information on that, Warp Ghost, and I wish we could see you back, but this is why. Welcome to Eve. What can I say? All right, let's talk about implants. I do have quite a bit of information here on implants, and this is going to take a while. Implants are important to understand, and they are complicated. And they're easily confused, and they can be very confounding, especially to new players. My intention here is to give you some basic introductory information. I'm going to give you a number of links so that you can investigate in more detail and give you some general advice about how to use implants effectively. I myself have a number of gem clones with different sets of implants, and continuously trying to find ways to modify and improve those. Implants can have a significant impact on your ability to do different kinds of things in the game, and they're often a benefit that people overlook. So they can be a little intimidating if you don't know how implants work and what's the right sets of configurations to use, and I hope to strip away some of that mystery today. All right, so what are implants? Implants are advanced devices that can plug into your character's brain to boost various skills and attributes. You have 10 slots available in your head for implants. Implants do not fit in any slot, any of those 10 slots, however. There are certain designated slots for certain designated kinds of implants. Slots 1 through 5 are designated for attribute enhancers, and it can affect the various types of attributes that you have, similar to what learning skills can do. Slots 6 through 10 are for skill hardwirings, and those skill hardwirings can affect your abilities in the game. Each implant only works in specific individual slot locations, as I said. Now, implants are similar to rigs or ship modifications, in that they are irretrievable enhancements. Just as when you plug in a rig into your ship, the only way to remove them is to destroy them. So similar with implants. Once you plug an implant in, I've had a little bit of a disconnect problem. If someone could tell me here if you can still hear me.
Got you 5x5.
Okay, bear with me while I reconnect in the game. Let's take just a moment. You know it's not a real class unless the teacher is disconnected, is not disconnected at least once. Hold on. Yeah, I'm going to have to restart my EVE client. Bear with me just a moment. So this would be a good time to put in all kinds of disparaging comments in the class.euni channel as I'm getting logged back in, because I won't be able to see them when I get back in the game. Okay, I am now back. I hope you all behaved while I was gone. Sorry for that technical snafu there. Let me bring up my syllabus again so I can see where I was. Where was I? I was talking about implants, correct? Yeah, very good. Oh, yeah, how implants were destroyed at death. Very good. Okay, I'll be right with you here in just a moment. Oh, yes, Crusoe. I'm sorry. I must have not seen that in my notes. Please do remind me to give everyone a million esc when we're done here. Okay. Nice try. All right. I'm back in business. Sorry for that technical glitch, folks. Apologize for that. We'll have to edit this out of the recording before we post it to the library. Okay, yes, I see where I am now. All right, so I was talking about how implants are very similar to rigs on a ship. They once you put them in, they can only be removed by destroying them or by replacing them with another implant. Now, one significant advantage to implants is that any of those bonuses, they're with you as long as you're occupying that particular clone into which the implants are inserted. The bonuses on those implants will apply to any ship that you fly. And generally, those bonuses do not stack. There are a few exceptions to that, but not many. In other words, if you have a capacitor-enhancing implant inserted and your ship has capacitor-enhancing rigs and modules fitted, your implant bonus will apply completely without any stacking penalties. Now, as I said, there are a few exceptions to this, and we'll talk more about them as we go along. So it's kind of a way to enhance your ship capabilities that you otherwise wouldn't be able to, and to be able to make those enhancements transportable across different kinds of ships that are available. Now, to use some of the lower-level implants, you will need at least cybernetics, skill trained to level 1, which itself requires level 3 trained in science. The more powerful and expensive implants require higher levels of training in cybernetics, and often those higher level implants will cost a lot of ISK. They can get very expensive, but they also give you some incrementally incredible improvements in your abilities, so often they're worth it. There are also some unique named implants, which are generally only available through special missions or as rare dropped loot from wrecks. One example of this is Akamon's Modified Noble ZET-5000. By the way, the implant names are always sound like gobbledygook to me and very difficult. They're not intuitive. But the Akamon's Modified Noble ZET-5000 is a implant that fits in slot 10 and provides an 8% increase to your armor hit points. Thank you for, well, that's not quite it, Ghost. That's the inherent implant's normal Noble ZET-500. There's a named version of that called Akamon's Modified Noble, which has the ZET-5000. And it's hard to find, candidly, because those named implants, because they're only available as a, that one particular one is only available as a reward in Amar Losec Cosmos mission. So very hard to get, very hard to get to, but it does provide an incredible increase in your armor hit points if you can get them. So occasionally in some of the tougher missions out there, you're going to see these kinds of implants dropped from time to time, and sometimes that's the only way to get them. And they are very lucrative. If you're not going to use them, you can sell them in the market and make millions of ISK on them if you ever get one. There are also implants called Mind Links. Mind Link implants provide special bonuses for combat and mining fleets. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. And then finally, there are sets of faction implants. The faction implants focus on a particular group of capabilities. They are extremely powerful. When you have an entire set of faction implants installed, those implants work together to provide some extraordinary abilities to the pilot that carries them. However, those implants are, those sets are extremely expensive to acquire. They can easily cost billions of ISK. I will tell you that I do have a combat clone with a snake set, a full set of the regular snake set inserted. I think it cost me about $2.8 billion to acquire, but it gives me a more than 50% improvement in my armor hit points. So very nice thing to have if you're going to be able to to be in PvP combat. However, it makes you really, really nervous if you've got that kind of investment in your implants and you're flying in PvP, because you could get potted and lose them, obviously. So there certainly is risk. Yeah, Kane says he has 60K armor and a mega. I have actually experimented with this with a slave set. I have actually gotten my effective hit points to like over 160K, which is absurd. So it can definitely lead you to a false sense of security with those kind of ridiculous kinds of faction implant sets. Yeah, Kane, you have to do all kinds of unnatural things to get it to that level, so don't worry. I mean, you basically are flying a giant brick that can't do anything, but very hard to kill you. Yeah, I guess I'm primary now. All right, so let's talk about each of these different kinds of implants. Attribute enhancer implants are implants that increase the value of your different character attributes, similar to learning skills. And as a result, they can improve your skill training speed. They do get progressively more difficult to find and more expensive as they increase in attribute improvement. Each attribute enhancement implant comes in 7 levels. The levels are limited, limited beta, basic, standard, improved, advanced, and elite. And basically, limited provides a +1 improvement. For that, you need Cybernetics 1 and Science 3 to fit. Limited beta is a +2 improvement to a particular attribute. Again, Cybernetics 1 and Science 3 required. Basic provides a +3 improvement. Again, Cybernetics 1 and Science 3. Standard is a +4 improvement. Cybernetics 4 and Science 3 required, and improved are the +5 attribute enhancements, Cybernetics 5 and Science 3 required. The other two, Advanced and Elite, which provide a +6 and a +7, are extremely rare and found only in very, very difficult missions, people say they don't really exist, I've never actually seen anyone ever mount them. But rumors are that they are out there somewhere. So if you ever find one, you know, they're extremely valuable, obviously, but I've never seen one. People say it's a myth. Well, you know, I don't. It's possible that it could be a myth, but they list them as available, and, you know, so in the game parlance, they are potentially available, but I've never actually seen them. So +5, generally, with Cybernetics 5 and Science 3 skills required, are the maximum that you're generally going to find in the game. Now, obviously, they get much more expensive as you go along. +5s can be very, very expensive. Obviously, you can easily spend hundreds of millions of ISK for those very advanced kinds of attribute enhancers, but it's probably worth it. It definitely helps to greatly improve your speed in training, and as you earn the income over time, upgrading to these higher levels of attribute enhancer implants definitely is worth it. Yeah, Reese says, I heard somewhere that they were dropping these kinds of very advanced, and elite implants, but CCP removed the ability to drop them. And that's possible, although there's never been any official confirmation of that. Ghost Jane says a full set of plus fives cost about $600 to $800 million. Yep, it is possible to certainly spend that amount to get a full set of plus fives. Now, attribute enhancement implants are, as I mentioned, installed in slots 1 through 5. Slot 1 improves your perception attribute. Those are called ocular filters. Slot 2 improves your memory attribute. Those are called memory augmentations. Slot 3 improves your willpower attribute. Those are called neural boosts. Slot 4 improves your intelligence attribute, and those are called cybernetic subprocessors. And slot 5 improves your perception attribute, and that's called the social adaptation chip. Let's talk about, first of all, before I move on, any questions about attribute enhancer implants? Okay. Just to make sure that everyone can hear me. Okay. Oh, Warp Ghost has a question. Go ahead. Are snake, crystal, et cetera, a good investment? You're talking about the faction implants. I'll get to that in a moment. I would say yes, they are. But it depends on what you're going to do. As I said, you're talking about a set of implants that cost billions of ISK. And for those of us that that fly armor-tanking ships in PvP situations, I find the snake enhancement. I know Kane here is in the class, also has a set of those. Absolutely invaluable. Definitely worth that huge bonus in armor hit points. I don't regret spending that amount of ISK on those on that set of implants at all, and it's definitely worth it. I think some of the other kinds of faction implants produce less value, and I think it's questionable as to whether or not you'd want to purchase them. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment, but I think it's definitely worth it for certain sets of implants. It really depends on what it is you want to do. Millisand says, or asks here, faction LP or loyalty, the loyalty stores, you can get cheaper implants. Yes, that's correct. If you run missions for certain kinds of factions, you can buy specialized implants from the loyalty point stores, and I have done that as well. I think there are a number of valuable implants that you can acquire there and candidly save a little bit of money. So it's very helpful to get them from those faction stores as well, and then instead of just the open market. Yeah, I'm sorry. Did I say slot? Yes, I've got an incorrect note in my notes here. Thank you very much for correcting me. Slot 5 is for charisma, not for perception. Not sure why I said perception. Slot 5 is for charisma, not for perception. Thank you for that correction. Karanta asks, if I look at my augmentations tab, will the slots not show up unless there is an actual implant in a particular slot? Yes, that is correct. If you look at your character sheet and click on augmentations, if you look at your particular clone that you're occupying, then if you don't have any implants inserted, then you will not see anything listed there. Dodecapod asks, have you ever lost your ship or got potted while having billions of ISK worth of implants plugged in? So far, no, but I've been very lucky. It does happen. It can happen. It is a risk, and it's one of the things that makes the game interesting for me. So if you kind of like having a certain amount of risk as you're flying around out there, carrying 3 billion ISK of implants in your head certainly can make that a little bit more fun for you. Okay. Russo says he's been potted with a full set of plus fours. Yes, definitely. Yeah. And one of the problems with telling people that you have those kind of implants is it does tend to make you a bit of a target. But, that's the way it goes. Okay, let's move on then to skill hardwiring implants, which are certainly much more complicated. While attribute enhancers are fairly straightforward, skill hardwiring implants are more complex and certainly more challenging to understand. Different manufacturers specialize in various skill hardwiring implants, and generally they come in three levels of improvement each. That's not always true, but generally they do. While different kinds of skill hardwiring implants must be fitted into designated slots in positions 6 through 10, different manufacturers offer implants affecting the same skills across most of those slots. That means that pilots can optimize their implant bonuses if you mix them up intelligently. And it does require a certain amount of planning. Most players, when they get an implant, they say, oh, cool, an implant, and they just plug it in. And candidly, that's not the most effective way to use your implants. You need to do a little planning. Just as you would planning the rigs that you would insert on your ship, you should definitely do some prior planning before inserting any implants into the various clones that you have. The Warp Ghost has a question here. Is there any way to know if someone has implants and what they are? Actually, no. They don't show up in any scans or anything. So there really isn't any way to know what implants a particular person is carrying. Yeah, Alex Moore says the only way to know is if you get access to their API key. which we can see when I'm doing recruiting for the uni. We use the limited API key to see what kind of implants people have. But beyond that, there really is no way to know what kind of implants someone is playing in gameplay. The limited one will tell you what implants people have. You don't need to give people the full API. Yeah, there is no way to loot them. If you pod someone, they just lose the implants. They don't go floating off into space where you can pick them up. Wouldn't that be cool? But no, that's not the case. They are they're like rigs. When the ship blows up, you know, rigs don't float off. Ship just gets blown up. Now, both EVEMON and the EVE fitting tool. Let me post the link for the EVE fitting tool. Are invaluable tools. You can also use EVEHQ for this, which combines both of those functions. But EVEMON, EFitting Tool, EVEHQ are all invaluable tools for understanding the kinds of implants that are available and for seeing their effects on your potential performance. However, you'll find that EVEMON organizes skill hardwiring implants by the slots into which they fit, and by general skill categories below that. And EFT organizes them by very broad skill categories. And you really need both to understand the optimum configuration for the best skill hardwiring implants for your particular goals. Now, I found a couple of very useful resources. I'm going to post these links for you now. Here is one that I recommend that you all mark down and take a look at. This is a very helpful guide to looking at skill hardwiring implants provided by the Alternative Innovations Corporation, and it sorts them by effect on key ship components. So if I'm looking for implants to improve my capacitor performance, this particular guide tells me exactly what implants will affect ship performance. So that's a very, very useful way to look at the different kinds of implants that are available and to determine which ones might be the most appropriate for me to use. Another source is on the Evolopedia. Let me post that for you as well. That is another link that is also helpful. It's a little harder to use, but also lists the different skill hardwiring implants that are available both by slot and by the affected kinds of broad skill categories. So between those two, you can map out slots 6 through 10 and determine the optimal configuration for the kinds of things that you want to do in the game. We'll talk a little bit more about some best practices for plotting that out when we get to jump clones. Any questions about skill hardwiring implants? We're going to touch on it again briefly later on when we get to configurations, but any general questions here now? By show of hands in the class.euni channel, how many people now have skill hardwiring implants inserted in the clone they're currently occupying? That's a surprisingly small number. I would definitely recommend that you spend a little time investigating implants. Certainly attribute enhancers can improve your learning skills, and I recommend you get the best ones available if you can. But these skill hardwiring implants can be very, very useful, and it's worth spending some time. They can make some major impact on your ability to do various things you want to do in your game. Yeah, for those of you who have jump clones that you might want to jump over to, we're going to talk a little bit more about how you can have different sets of implants and different jump clones. That's exactly the right way to use them. Okay, let's talk about mind links. Mind links are a special class of implant. They're worth a couple minutes to spend some time on here. Mind links all fit into slot 10, and they provide bonuses to fleet members if the owner of the mind link is in a fleet leadership position, that is fleet commander, wing commander, or squad commander. Mind links provide a 50% improvement in the command bonus of any associated link modules that you may have installed on your ship. Corinta asks, booster? No, this is not the same thing as a booster. If you're a fleet booster, that's correct. If you're in a leadership position and you are the fleet booster, then you've got the mind links and you've got a ship with an associated link module installed, then that accelerated or improved bonus will apply to everyone in that fleet. Okay. So it does provide a 50% increase to the command bonus of associated link modules and replaces the warfare or foreman skill bonuses with a fixed 15% bonus. So as you're doing more leadership training and you get to the point where you're beginning to offer some bonuses to your fleet mates, having mind links inserted in slot 10 can definitely do a lot to improve the effectiveness of that particular fleet or gang. There are really two types of mind links. There are warfare mind links. To fit those, you need Cybernetics 5, Leadership 1 at least. The warfare type skill to level 5, that could be armored, information, siege, or skirmish, and the corresponding warfare type specialist skill to level 5. Now, those mind links are useful if you're going to be leading PvP combat fleets. And generally speaking, it's going to be something that you're going to be doing later in your EVE career. There's the Armored Warfare Mind Link, the Information Warfare Mind Link, and the Siege Warfare Mind Link, and the Skirmish Warfare Mind Link. And they all relate to improving the related link modules in your ships of those types. There's also the Mining Foreman Mind Link, which provides a 50% increase to the command bonus for mining fleets. They improve the mining foreman link modules and does replace the mining foreman skill bonus with a fixed 15% mining yield bonus. Now, I have an alt that focuses on hauling and on mining. She flies an Orca. She does have a mining foreman mine link inserted and can provide incredible benefits. It's a fantastic implant to get if you're going to be flying an Orca or maybe even a Rorqual down the line and leading mining fleets, because it can dramatically improve the laser ranges and the cycle times of your mining laser, really improve your throughput on that particular kind of ship. Exxon says, yes, I have a slot 10, but it doesn't say anything about command link. Well, if you don't have the mind link inserted into slot 10, then you're not going to be able to do anything with it. So everyone does have a slot 10, but if you're going to insert a mind link, it would fit into that particular slot, and then you could get the bonuses on those ships that have those various links in the ship configuration. That's right. Slot 10. Exxon's, you got that. Slot 10 holds hardwire and command links. That's correct. Now, there are a number of other hardwiring implants that also fit into slot 10. So you've got to make some hard choices here. I mean, the point is that before you insert any of these kinds of implants into your brain, you've got to decide, what do I want this character to do? Or what do I want this character to do when they're in this particular clone, more accurately? So if you're going to have a character that's going to be leading mining fleets in an orca, that's going to have the appropriate links in the ship, then having a mind link, a mining foreman mind link, makes a lot of sense. You're going to optimize your performance there. If that particular character is going to be flying around doing PvP, then fitting other kinds of skill hard wirings are going to improve your large hybrid gun usage, for example, into slot 10 might make more sense. So it all depends on what you're going to do with that particular character in that particular clone. And again, all the more reason for planning out how you use these implants to fit into the various slots in your head. Good question. All right, let's talk about pirate faction implant sets or faction implant sets in general. This is a little complicated, so I'm going to go through this pretty quickly, but feel free to ask any questions as we go along. These are unique sets of implants, as I mentioned before. They can be extremely powerful. They are extremely expensive, and you do not want to enter into them lightly. Each of the five pirate factions offers a unique set of powerful attribute enhancer implants, and they are a combination attribute enhancer and skill hardwiring implants. They fit into slots 1 through 5. They're all called Alpha, Beta, Delta, Gamma, and Epsilon, respectively, for those slots. They're available in two grades, a low grade and a regular grade. They increase your attributes for those various slots, either by +2 for the low grades or +3 for the regular grade. So not as powerful as the +4s and +5s, certainly, but you do get some healthy improvements in your attributes by fitting these different faction implant sets. They also increase a specific ship handling skill, and depending on which set you insert, I already mentioned, for example, Kane and myself and others have the slave set, which specifically improves armor hit points, but there are other sets as well. We'll talk about that in a moment. And they can improve those fairly dramatically. And the reason is because when you have the whole set installed, when used in combination as a full set, their bonuses have a secondary multiplicative effect. So you can get some very huge bonuses if you have the complete set of these different faction implant sets installed. There is also a related hardware implant set, which fits into slot 6. So the full set is slot 1 through 5 plus slot 6. That slot 6 implant is always called the Omega implant. It doesn't do anything by itself, but it does provide a very big boost to all of the different kinds of faction implants you have in slots 1.5. It can add another, for example, the slave set improves or the bonus by an additional 50%, multiplies it by 50%. So that's a key part of the entire set. So you have Alpha, Beta, Delta, Gamma, Epsilon, and Omega fitting into slots 1 through 6. They improve your attributes by either +2 for the low grade or +3 for the regular grade, and they do focus on different ship handling skills. Are you all with me so far? Any questions so far? Okay, because there's more. Now, the low grade sets to install require Cybernetics 4. The regular sets, or otherwise known as the high-grade sets, so you'll see some people refer them to them that way, require Cybernetics 5. So a very high level of Cybernetics skill training required. It does take a long time to train Cybernetics 5, by the way. You can mix the low-grade and regular implants, but you do get some lower bonuses coming from the low-grade versions of those implants. But they are cheaper. They do cost less, so there is some advantage in getting those low-grade sets. The pirate implant sets are Crystal from the Garistas, Halo from Angel, Slave, which are Sancha implants, Snake, which are Serpentis implants, and Talisman, which are Blood Raider implants. Now, to give you an idea of how powerful these pirate faction implants can be, when a full set, which is the Alpha to Epsilon in slots 1 through 5, plus Omega in slot 6, are installed, you get some incredible cumulative bonuses. The Crystal set, for example, increases shield boost amounts by 53.63%. The Halo set, it reduces your signature radius by 20.7%. The Slave set increases your armor hit points by 53.63%. The Snake set increases your velocity by more than 50%. Talisman set of implants reduces the duration of any modules requiring energy emission skills by 38.12%. So huge bonuses for having the complete set. So you heard earlier on, we had a question, is it worth spending $2.8 billion on a set of faction implants? Well, I would tell you, they have a 53.63% improvement in armor hit points. Yeah, I like them. It gives me a great sense of comfort. If you want to increase your velocity by 50%, that's incredible. I mean, imagine being able to fly a fast ship and have it even go 50% faster. I mean, you're getting some ridiculous kinds of performance improvement here. I definitely think it's worth it. Okay, I've just posted a link that explains the math for how the different bonuses are calculated. I'm not going to go through them in detail here, but I definitely think it's worth taking a look at. If you're interested in acquiring a set of faction implants, I definitely recommend that you read the background on that and make sure that you select the right one. Let's see here. Excalibur Templar asks, do you earn faction implants from missions? You can, usually in certain kinds of complexes different kinds of pirate missions. You can get a few of these. Generally, you're going to find that they're low grade to get dropped in missions, but not always. Sometimes you can get the high grade ones as well. So you can get them in missions, but generally people buy them on the market, and that's usually where you'll find where people acquire them. They can be found in complexes. They can be received as rewards for different pirate faction storyline missions. But most people purchase them in the major trade hubs. Yeah, good question. In case your ship gets destroyed, do the implant bonuses apply while flying in your pod? Yes, they do. Whatever ship you're flying, you're going to get those bonuses too. Although a 50% plus improvement in armor hit points on your pod doesn't amount to much, so it's really not worth it. Although you will go fast if you have the snake set, for example. You'll go a little bit quicker. Now, there's some other faction implant sets as well, and they work very similarly to the pirate faction sets, and I just mentioned them for reference here. There's the Grail set, which enhances your radar sensor strength. The Jackal set enhances your LADAR sensor strength. The Spur set enhances magnetometric sensor strength, and Talon enhances your gravimetric sensor strengths. Interested in looking at those if you're a scanner or an explorer, for example. The Virtue set enhances your probe scan strength. However, it's available only as a low-grade set. Centurion enhances EWAR module optimal range, again, only available as a low-grade set. Harvest enhances your mining laser range, low-grade set. Nomad enhances your ship agility, again, only a low-grade set. And Edge reduces booster drug negative side effects. And we'll talk more about booster drugs a little bit later on. If all of this sounds very confusing and you need a reference to figure out how all these different faction implant sets work, here is a table which explains it in some detail, and it's actually on our wiki. And you can find that under Advanced Attribute Enhancer Reference. Any questions about implants before we move on? I did that fairly quickly. As I said, I wanted to give you strip away some of the mystery about how these different implant sets work and how the different kinds of implants can affect you. I've given you a few links. You can study them in more detail. But there is a lot there to absorb, so do plan to spend quite a bit of time. Warp Coast has a question. Go ahead. Must be a long question. Here it is. Is the supply of faction implants steady or very volatile? I find it to be pretty steady. I've never had any trouble acquiring the faction implants that I acquired. It went to JITA. It's always there in the market. So I find that it's pretty steady. However, they are expensive, as I mentioned. I think it's one of the reasons why the market is steady is because they command extremely premium prices, and so not very many people buy them. But I generally find that they're available. I did searches the other day for a Harvest set. I had no trouble finding them on the open market. So, they are out there, and they can be acquired, but you do have to go to the major trade hubs usually to find them. But they're pretty readily available. It's just that they're really expensive. Yeah, the Harvest set's going to cost about $1.5 billion, so I'm beginning to wonder if it's worth it. I'm looking for better prices. Yeah, we're talking big money here, folks. So these are usually reserved for experienced players. Now, I focused early in my EVE career on how to make ISK, and I will tell you that I also bought and sold a few Plex because I didn't have the patience, and that's how I was able to acquire these kinds of things. And that's what usually a lot of characters will do. Kane, however, is a manufacturing god and is a billionaire in the game, and that's how he got his, I'm sure. So, you got to have a lot of ISK to be able to to afford these kinds of things. They are definitely luxury items, but you will encounter them. They do produce incredible bonuses and something to aspire to in the future. Meanwhile, there are a variety of other much more affordable implants that you can get for your skill hard wirings that can have a significant impact. And don't feel that the different kinds of faction implants are the only ones to get. There certainly are not. Yeah, Vargas, they're plus threes are expensive. Ha, they're nothing. You'll get there. Just keep working at it. Trust me. Okay, let's talk a little bit about clones, and then I think we'll open it up to – I'll talk a little bit about boosters, and then we'll open it up to questions. The reason I want to talk about clones is because people are often confused about them, and we do occasionally in the uni have these pilgrimages, if you will, to where we can acquire jump clones. And I do encourage you to participate in those. Of course, we don't have any going on right now because we are at war, but – It definitely is worthwhile to attend those and acquire jump clones. But I did want to do a quick overview of different kinds of clones because they also can be very useful for storing different sets of implants if you do it intelligently. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. The background on clones in general is as follows. You as capsuleers are not tied to any single body, just as you are not tied to any single ship. In EVE, the inner workings of your brain are so well understood that they can be scanned with extreme precision and then copied into another brain in a different body where you can then be revived with all of your memories and experience intact. This mind-moving technology provides you with two important capabilities, medical clones and jump clones. Now, they're very similar but very different uses of the same technology. Let's talk about medical clones. When your death is imminent, if you're about to die and you're about to get podded, that is, and your body destroyed, your pod will scan your brain and make a copy of the contents of your mind and transmit it through the interstellar network to a specifically reserved clone for you. That clone body is called a medical clone. Some people call them skill clones. And it's where you will end up or be transported to, if you will, whenever your pod is destroyed. So your medical clone is basically where you are respawned in the game. Your medical clone, therefore, is basically a backup body, which is always reserved safely for you. as a refuge for your mind in case your pod is destroyed. Now, you purchase medical clones at any station that has medical facilities, and you can move your medical clone around to other stations. If you've not done so, you can do so by clicking on the Medical Services button in Station Services at that station where your medical clone is located, and then click Change Station. And you'll be given a list of suitable stations to which you can move your med clone. And I've moved my med clone around a couple different places as I've changed where I'm based in Eve. So just remember that wherever your medical clone is located, whatever station it's based at, that's where you're going to end up if you're ever podded. So you might want to think about where it's located and use that move clone or change station option to move it to wherever it is you want to end up in. Now, medical clones are rated by the amount of skill points that they can preserve. This is important to understand. If you are podded and you are transported into a medical clone that has a lower skill point rating, a lower skill point capacity, than the number of skill points that you currently possess, then you will lose skill points. You will lose skill points to the capacity of that particular medical clone. In short, basically you forget some of your skills, and you'll have to relearn them. Therefore, you should make sure that your medical clone is always kept upgraded so that you will never lose any skill points. I cannot emphasize this enough. All right, so if you don't know what I'm talking about, then you probably do not have a medical clone that has a sufficient skill point rating to preserve all of the learning and training that you have done up to this point. And I do recommend that you go back and look at your medical clone and make sure that you have one saved for you that is rated high enough to preserve all of your skill points. Vargas says, doesn't it take like 20% of your top skill if you die with an outdated clone? Yes, that is correct. There is a formula for that. Basically, it takes off from the highest meta level skill and the highest ones that you have the most skill points. So the most difficult ones to train that also have the highest skill points are the ones that it takes off first, and then it works its way down from there. And of course, those are the ones that are hardest to train, so you don't want that to happen. So this is a very bad thing if you get podded and end up in a medical clone with a lower skill point rating than the number of skill points you have. You just don't want it to happen. As a matter of policy, I always keep a medical clone that has twice the number of skill points that I currently possess. And I go back and I relook at it from time to time and keep that updated. Link for that formula. Actually, I do not have it here. Actually, I describe it in some detail in the syllabus. So if you look in the syllabus, you'll find it listed there. Is it possible to get back the 100% bonus if you get podded? Jill, good question. The answer is no. Once you go beyond the initial 1.6 million accelerated skill point level, you lose it forever. So if you go back below 1.6 million after that, you don't get your accelerated bonus, which is a very bad thing. Now, higher capacity medical clones are incrementally more expensive. You do pay more ISK for the higher rated clones. Otherwise, we would all buy the highest rated one and be done with it. The lowest rated medical clone is Alpha, which is basically it's your initial medical clone. It can preserve up to 900,000 skill points, and it does cost you nothing because that's the one you start with. The highest rated one is Omega, and it can preserve 450 million skill points and costs 150 million ISK. So, and of course, there are various gradients between them, between those two extremes with different associated ISK values. To purchase an upgraded medical clone, you click on the Medical Services button in Station Services at the station where your medical clone is located and click Upgrade Clone. You'll be given a list of rated medical clones that are available to you and the cost in ISK for each. The Warp Ghost asks, can you get more skill points than an Omega? Well, theoretically, yes. I think there are very few players in the game that have more than 450 million skill points, however, but it is theoretically possible, which, of course, presents a risk to them if they ever get potted. I don't think people with 450 million skill points get potted very often, however. Okay. Any questions about medical clones before we go on? Okay. Let's talk about jump clones. As I mentioned, jump clones are distinctly different than medical clones. They're based on the same kind of mind-moving technology, but they're very different. In the game, we as capsuleers can transport our minds to other clone bodies, not only when we're potted, but also on our own volition. We can choose to have our mind moved to another body. Those clones are called jump clones and are distinctly different, as I mentioned, from medical clones. They're called jump clones because you're deliberately moving the contents of your mind from one body to another. In other words, you're jumping into another body. How many people here have jump clones? In fact, how many people here have two or more jump clones? Give me a wave in the chat channel. Okay, so we have, Kane has four, Reese has three, some of you only have one currently. That's okay. I mean, currently I have three and I'm working on a fourth one. Jump clones, of course, do not have to be in your particular location. In fact, you recommend that you do not have them in the same location, we'll talk more about that in a minute. And you can use that interstellar network to transmit your mind to a clone in another location. So, therefore, jump clones allow instantaneous transport to another part of Eve. You can go anywhere that you have a jump clone in New Eden. You can move yourself there instantaneously. As long as you have a designated jump clone at a station, you can move there. Now, there are some limits associated with that. You can only do one clone jump every 24 hours, but it's a great way to, say, have a jump clone in one part where you might be doing some missioning, be able to jump to it, do your missions, and then when you want to jump back to Aldrat after 24 hours, you can do so. Now, what's needed to get a jump clone? Well, the first thing that is needed is that you must have Infomorph Psychology Skill trained. There is a link that describes Infomorph Psychology. You are allowed one jump clone per level trained. So Infomorph Psychology is an absolute requirement. You also need to spend 100,000 ISK for each jump clone installation. There is a fee for each jump clone. That's a one-time fee, obviously. You also need either personal standings of 8.0 or higher, or average corporation standings of 8.0 or higher with a faction that offers cloning services. Not all factions do. So it's important to understand those factions that you're grinding missions for to in order to get higher levels of standings so you can get access to their medical services. Well, make sure they offer medical services. I just recently been grinding up to 8.0 to get access to the Bruter tribe, to be able to get access to jump clones there, very close to doing so. So they do offer medical services, but not every clone, I made a mistake. It's not faction, it's corporation, okay? So corporation definitely works, right? Yeah, different corporations offer different kinds of services. Not all of them have medical services, and if you want to be able to get clones and jump clones from your particular that particular corporation, make sure that they offer those services. Excalibur asked a very good question: can I stick a jump clone in my cargo hold and manually relocate it instead of jumping into the body and moving myself? Unfortunately, no. You have to jump into the jump clone and move it that way. There is no way to use it as storage. The backstory on this is that jump clones have to be maintained in very specialized facilities that cannot be transported. So it's not a body you can throw in the trunk and move around, for example. It does require a certain degree of equipment to be maintained. So you cannot move it around like a piece of cargo. By the way, Ghost Chain makes a good point. If you grind your faction to 8, your faction standing, however, then you can do jump clones with any corporation within that faction, and that is correct. So if you can get faction standings with Minmatar to 8 or greater, then any corporation in the Minmatar faction that offers medical services, you'll have access to those jump clone facilities. Now, EVE University members are very fortunate in that we can benefit from our existing high standings with two corporations, the Rokormi Peace Corps and Conid Innovation. And you can purchase jump clones from them directly. Now, I'm going to post a link here that describes that process in some detail. I do recommend that you read that in total, because there is one thing that I want to emphasize, that if you choose to make use of that service, then definitely want to follow the directions there very carefully. The key thing to watch out for is if you go to Rokormi Peace Corps or a Conid Innovation Station, do not talk to any of the agents there. Don't click on the buttons. Don't begin a conversation. Don't talk to the agents in any Rokormi Peace Corps or Conid Innovation Station. Because if you do, then your standings with them will be averaged in with those uni members that have worked very hard to get those 8.0 standings with those particular agents, and we will lose our jump clone access. The only way to fix that is to boot you out of the uni. You will be kicked out. So do not talk to any agents from Rokormi Peace Corps or Conid Innovation, okay? Now, notice those are different than the Rokormi Corporation or the Conid Kingdom. They are relatively small corps, and one of the reasons we selected them is because they're fairly isolated, and so your chances of running into them by accident are fairly low. But be aware that if you ever go into a Rokormi Peace Corps or Conid Innovation Station, do not talk to the agents there. By the way, I'm hearing some keying up in the background. If you could all check your push-to-talk option on TeamSpeak, that would be appreciated. A couple of common questions about jump clones. First of all, can a jump clone be lost other than being potted? Yes, if you jump from a station that already has one of your inactive jump clones already there, basically trying to jump from one jump clone to another in the same location, then you're going to destroy one of your jump clones. Basically, you can only have one jump clone per station. Now, supposedly this has been fixed. However, I do not risk it. I don't recommend that you do as well. I keep all of my jump clones in the different stations in Aldrat, and I jump between the different stations. It's just a good practice to be into. It's a little bit inconvenient, but candidly, it's a safer way to store your jump clones. So don't store jump clones in the same location, and don't jump to a jump clone that is in the same location or station. If you get potted, you wake up in your medical clone with no implants. You never wake up in a jump clone. You'll always have the same number of inactive jump clones. However, if your jump clone had implants installed when you're potted, you lose the implants. Okay, some key differences between jump clones and medical clones. Everyone always has a medical clone. You can only have one med clone, but you can have multiple jump clones. Okay. Medical clones also never hold implants, but each jump clone preserves the implants installed in it. All right. Once you move into a medical clone, then basically it becomes like a jump clone. All right. So, and you get a new medical clone, and now you have a fresh body to install new implants. So let's talk about jump clones as implant storage. And you can keep separate sets of implants in various jump clones. It's one of the reasons to have multiple jump clones. And then jump to whatever clone you need for different purposes. For example, I have a training clone. This is the clone that I spend most of my time in. It includes a full rack of improved plus 5 attribute enhancement implants, so it maximizes my training speed. Okay, that's the clone that during peacetime I like to hang around in to see my training skills go by or training go by faster. And I do have a few additional hardwiring implants for the different kinds of peacetime activities, PVE for missions, and you know, if you could also have different configurations for mining or trade or whatever, depending on how you like to make ISK. You might also have a mission runner clone, if you want, and that means active tanks that can be sustained over a longer period. So you might want implants that improve your capacitor performance, like the Inherent Implants Squire CR series, which fits into slot 6, and improves your cap recharge time anywhere from 1 to 5%. Or you might stick a Squire CC series into slot 8, which improves your capacitor capacity 1 to 5%. If you're a shield tanker, you might look at the Gnome series in slots 6, 7, and 9 to reduce your shield upgrade module power needs, your shield capacity, or your shield recharge rates. And for armor tankers, you might insert into slot 6 the Noble, Inherent Implants Noble series to reduce your armor and hull systems duration, or you could put something into slot 9, another Noble series, to increase your armor repair systems amount. So there are various kinds of implants that are appropriate for different slots that can help improve your PVE. Also, PVP clones. I do have one of these. Slot 1 through 6 in my PVP clone has a full slave set to boost armor buffer tank hit points. You can also enhance that even further with an inherent implants in slot 8 to increase armor hit points if you want to go completely crazy. There are a variety of things you can put into your skill hardwirings to improve your combat effectiveness. All right. Basically, what I'm saying is that depending on your style of play, you can develop many other jump clone configurations: tackling, sniping, blaster optimization, missile combat, drones, logistics, exploration, mining, R&D, production, fleet leadership. There's a whole variety of different implants that affect those different things. And since you're limited to the number of jump clones that you can have, you need to think very carefully about what it is I want to do in the game and what set of implants might be the optimum configuration that I want to jump into in order to maximize my abilities in those regards. Now, I recommend that you use EVMON and EFT to try various configurations of implants in your jump clone before installing them. And it's worthwhile to spend the time using the links that I've provided to you and use EVMON or EVHQ to plan out in advance what implants you want to insert to optimize your performance. I'm going a little over time here, so I want to wrap up pretty quickly, but any questions about implants before I move on to boosters? Okay, just to make sure, because I'm a needy person, can you still hear me all right? Give me a wave in the chat channel. Thank you. I hope I'm not boring anybody. All right, one other way to improve your, you know, to mess with your head, so to speak, and improve your abilities is to use booster drugs, better living through chemistry. Booster drugs can improve particular abilities for a short while, lasting between 36 minutes and 1 hour, depending on your biology skill. And in effect, booster drugs can act like a temporary implant. However, they do so with some very negative side effects, or potentially some very negative side effects. I'm going to post a link here. It is stored in the syllabus, but that is a download of a very helpful sheet that explains in summary form the various kinds of boosters. I'm not going to go through all of those in detail here. I'm just going to give you a couple of examples. For example, the Mind Flood booster drug will temporarily increase your ability to manage your ship energy, which results in an effective capacitor capacity increase of between 3 and 20%. 20% capacitor improvement, of course, is huge. That level of improvement depends on the strength of the Mind Flood booster taken, right? However, you get that benefit only at the risk of up to 4 negative side effects. Now, you could have none. It's totally chance-driven. You could have no side effects whatsoever. You could have 1 or 2 or 3, or you could get all 4. You never know when you take the drug. So the it's all probability-based. Mind flood, for example, can cause penalties for slower armor repair rate, reduction in missile damage if you fire missiles, lower shield boosting, or shorter turret optimal ranges. And those are pretty significant downsides to taking this relative to the improvement in your capacitor capacity. Now, the chances for those penalties are determined by the strength of the drug and your level in certain advanced skills, specifically the level of nanite control and neurotoxin recovery, which are pretty advanced skills that, candidly, most of us in the uni are not going to have trained yet. All right. So the sheet that I gave you with the link does describe decrease in the probability of seeing those negative side effects. You can take a look at the charts in that particular link, and it'll give you an idea of what's required in order to use boosters, the potential benefits, and also the potential risks. Now, each of these booster drugs are available in a variety of different levels, as I mentioned. There's the synth level, which is the lowest level, standard, improved, and strong. Only the synth level, which provides only a 3% improvement in whatever particular benefit that you're looking for, is legal in Empire Space. So you can take booster drugs in Empire Space. If you buy the synth, if you go to the market and type synth, you'll see all the different synth level of booster drugs that are available, and you can take them. You can do that now, and it's completely legal. However, they do have negative side effects, so if you want to experiment with drugs in the game, not in real life, then you can go ahead and buy synth and you can play with it and see how you like it. I don't recommend it. I think the negative side effects more than offset the positive benefits, but you can definitely do that. The stronger versions, the standard, improved, and strong versions, are completely illegal in Empire and also quite expensive. And if you are caught with them, you can expect to at least pay some heavy fines and potentially could have your ship attacked if you try to get away with them. So you'll find, candidly, boosters used more often by advanced pilots in null security space where the law is not going to be a problem for them, and they're easier to fire. And those pilots typically train the specialized skills, the nanite control, neurotoxin recovery, et cetera, or fit certain implants. We mentioned the Edge implant a little earlier, which minimizes those negative effects of those boosters. So the bottom line here is that most uni pilots are well advised to avoid booster drugs until much later in your career, if at all. But I do mention it for completeness. You can definitely have a temporary impact on your capabilities. Now, there was an excellent class that was conducted a little bit earlier this year that was conducted by Lebanon about booster drugs, including how to make them, and I'm going to post the link for that here. It is in our recorded class library. If you want to learn a lot more about booster drugs and what's entailed in using them or even making them and becoming a drug dealer in the game, you can learn all about it. It's in our recorded class library on our wiki. Any questions about booster drugs? Take a look at that summary sheet. It should describe it in some detail. And give a listen to that class, and we'll answer more questions than I can possibly answer here today. Okay? All right. With that, I will now open TeamSpeak. If you'd like to come forward and ask any questions verbally, feel free to do so. I want to thank you for your patience as we've gone through this class. I know this has been a bit of a long grind, more than 90 minutes here in this class. I think we're approaching 50 minutes now. So, almost 2 hours now. So apologize for the long class, but there is a lot of material in here, obviously, a lot of ways that you can affect your attributes and abilities and mess with your head, so to speak. I hope you found this useful. If you did, I'd like to ask you a favor. Please send me one ISK, and let me X up in the chat channel. Yeah. Send me one ISK if you like the class. And if you have any suggestions for improvement, besides not getting disconnected, then please send me your comments, positively or negatively. I'd very much appreciate it. We want this to be as useful as possible to future uni pilots as well. So we'd love to be able to make this class as good as we possibly can. So send me your comments, and if you liked it, send me one ISK. Okay, with that, we'll open the TeamSpeak lines up, and if anyone has any questions, feel free to type them either in the class.euni chat channel, or you can just speak up in TeamSpeak. Any questions at all?
You got a question for
you? Yeah, I've got one. Yeah, go ahead.
Earlier, when we were talking about the attribute, I read it somewhere saying that the game mechanism only count up to 30 points. You could have potentially more than 30 points, which is like up to 34, but then the game mechanism doesn't count those two with the training. Now, I don't know if that's misinformation or not.
I have not seen that. I think it's very, first of all, it's very difficult to get over 30, and to be able to do so, you would need to find those mythical, higher-level kinds of implants, obviously, and I'm not sure that it is possible. As to whether or not, even if you go over 30, as to whether or not it's counted toward your training, I've seen nothing that, and I've researched this fairly extensively. So far, I've not seen anything that indicates that there is a limit in terms of how it's counted on training. If somebody can find that for me, that'd be, please send it to me. I'll amend my notes for future versions of this class. But I think whatever is counted in your attributes is included in the calculation for determining the skill training. I do not think there is a cap at 30 for any given attribute. Okay. Tulane Core asks a good question. Oh, by the way, I think we had one other verbal question, so you can step forward.
Going back to my...
I think somebody just got potted. You want to try that again?
Well, I just wanted to ask if you had a full set that reduced your signature radius and you got potted, wouldn't that give you a few more seconds to get away with your implants?
Absolutely. That particular set, which does reduce your signature radius, makes you much harder to target and much more evasive. And I think it would definitely go a long way to improving your PvP skill. So absolutely. I mean, as I said, these implants can do some amazing things, and you shouldn't ignore them because you are going to be flying against pilots that have these implants. You are going to be going up against people like me and Kane that have a slave set. And, you know, you're going to be pounding away at us, and we're just going to be just sitting there and kind of drumming our fingers and wondering when this thing is going to be over because, you know, our armor hit points are ridiculous. So you need to have things to offset those kinds of advantages, candidly. And so investigate these different kinds of implants that are available. And one thing I do recommend that you do, get a sheet of paper out, and across the top of the page, right, 1 through 10, and those are the slots that are available to you. And, of course, 1 through 5 are for your attribute improvement, and 6 through 10 are your skill hardwirings. And then down the side of your page, think about all the different things that you want to do in the game. Are you a miner? Are you a trader? Do you do PvE and missions? Are you doing PvP? Rank order those, and then think about, if I had to have jump clones, and I'm only limited to a certain number of them, I have 4 because I have infomorph psychology trained to that level. If I only could have 4 jump clones, what are the 4 functions that I want to have? And then plan out the different kinds of implants that I want for those jump clones. That's the most intelligent way to plan it out and to make the investments. And then they'll figure out, then you can figure out how much ISK I need to be able to earn in order to get those particular sets of jump clones and optimize your performance. I don't see people doing that. What I see people doing is they'll see an implant drop in emission and they'll just stick it in there. Well, that's cool and get a little bit of benefit, but candidly, you're not going to maximize the kinds of multiplicative effects that you can have with certain sets or with having different kinds of sets or configurations of implants. So plan this stuff out, and I think that you can optimize your performance very well. Good question. Tulane Core asks, where do babies come from? Tulane Core, I'm not sure how old you are, and I'm not sure it's appropriate for us to talk about that here. Good question, though. Are there any good online libraries for prefabricated skill plans? James Iston asks. That is a good question. I have not seen that. I believe that there are recommendations, certainly some recommendations on the Uni Wiki for accomplishing certain kinds of capabilities in a relatively short period of time. For example, there is a skill plan that is described on our wiki for having a high-level minor, for example. So you can find a few of them listed for different kinds of functions there. But I've never seen an online library for any kind of prefabricated skill plan. If anyone is aware of one, please post it here in chat, but I don't believe that I've seen any. Nivozid says, anyone know a good place to read about Evemon and how to use plans? I would start with our recorded class library there, Niv. We do have some recorded classes there on how to use Evemon effectively. Also do a search on our wiki on Evemon. You'll find a whole bunch of references there that would be very helpful. Coach Egger asks, how many ISK are you supposed to send and where? Well, you don't have to send any ISK. I just ask if you liked the class. Just send one ISK to Neville Smith. That's my character. And this lets me know. Actually, I do that for two reasons. Number one, it lets me know if people like the class. And secondly, it's a way for me to see who attended, which is helpful. Someone said there are no side effects for synth boosters. Is that true? Swoodle, that's a good question. I assumed that there was, but let me check here and see if that is the case. I don't see that explicitly listed here. I will have to research that. I think there are side effects for every level, but I could be wrong about that. Kane says there are no side effects for synth as far as we know. Matt, that's a good point. That could be the reason why synth is not illegal in Empire. And Tulane Core says, no, there aren't. Oh, I see here. Yes, I found it. You're correct. There are no side effects for synth. I need to amend that in my... in my notes here. Very good catch. So use synth all you want. It's like aspirin. Other than an upset stomach, you won't have any negative effects whatsoever. Any other questions? These are excellent. Yeah, Tulane Core makes a good point. I mean, for the amount of incremental benefit that you get, you know, is it really worth it? They're not cheap, so... and you're basically getting a benefit at the levels of biology skill that we are trained, which is, you're probably talking a little more than a half an hour. So except for a short PvP or mission, I don't see that you're getting a lot of benefit out of it. Yeah, Nara asks, can we do drugs in class? Well, if you're using synth, then yeah, I guess you could. So have at it. can you use Exile? I assume that is the synth version. Don't answer that. We don't want you to incriminate yourself. Of course it's the synth. You wouldn't use any illegal drugs. I know you. Of course not. Sloan Core says uses crash in your stealth bomber because it can be very helpful, definitely. Do booster drugs stack? Actually, booster drugs actually operate. There is a slot for booster drugs, just like there is a slot for your implants, and they generally do not stack, but you can't take unlimited combinations of booster drugs. You have to be able to only take certain drugs that fit into certain slots. And when you look at the show info for a particular booster drug, you'll see what slot it fits into. Otherwise, people would just overdose on booster drugs and get these ridiculous kinds of benefits. Yeah. So there are limits to the number of booster drugs that you can take at any one particular time based on those that slotting, if you will. That's right. You can only take one type at a time. You can't take three Mind Flood and get, 60% improvement in capacitor, for example. Good point. Well, I see we are approaching 2 hours in the game. I'm sorry, 2 hours in this particular lecture. And I know people want to get back to the game and do fun things, so I am going to close out this session here now. I want to thank you very much for your patience. This is the first time we've taught this particular class. Oh, my pleasure. And I hope you, again, if you enjoyed the class, send me one ISK. If you have any suggestions for improvement, then by all means, please send it to me. And with that, we will close out, and I wish you good luck and fly safe.